They're going to drown, Judge Beck commented, the amusement in his voice making it quite clear that although he did believe that his two children were going to wind up in the river, they were hardly going to drown. We were sitting outside under the gazebo, iced tea in hand, as we watched Madison, Henry, Sean, and Chelsea work on their entry for this year's Locust Point Regatta. My boss, JT, had originally declined to enter, claiming that between business and his YouTube channel reality show, he didn't have the time to build a boat. There was a lot of publicity in having an entry, though, so when I suggested that the kids might be willing to do all the work if he footed the bill, he'd jumped at the offer. Boats could be created using scrap parts taken from actual boats, but couldn't have more than $300 worth of materials in them. This made the race one huge comedy show, complete with the frantic bailing of water and contestants swimming for shore as their vessels sank. It was part of our town's 4th of July weekend celebration, and had always been a much-anticipated annual event, along with the parade, the concert in the park, and fireworks. Local businesses sponsored most of the activities, and town residents took note of those who did, rewarding those companies with their hard-earned dollars throughout the year. Dad, Henry called out, we're going to need more glue. They were going to need a heck of a lot more glue. I got the idea that most of JT's $300 was going toward the marine glue and sealant that coated the giant raft. For pontoons, the kids were using huge PVC pipes and chunks of styrofoam. There was to be a test run tomorrow morning on Suzette Hostenfelder's pond, and I had a bad feeling we'd be dragging a sunken raft out of the water with Suzette's truck. Judge Beck got up to fetch another container of glue from the garage while I leaned back and enjoyed the view. My hot tub bubbled away at the end of the yard, ready for the kids once they were done with their raft. The herb garden was neat and verdant, little copper signs labeling the different varieties. My roses were just starting to bloom, the flowers actually visible this year now that I'd torn all the weeds and rogue maple seedlings from around them. Taco sulked in the enclosed cat run that the kids had made for him. I felt guilty that he wasn't free to dart around the yard, chasing insects and birds and rolling in my patch of mint. But after Mr. Peter's death nearly 2 months ago, I hadn't wanted to risk him getting killed himself, either by a sword-wielding murderer or a car. I felt the cat run was a good compromise to keeping him in the house all of the time, but Taco didn't agree. Madison and Chelsea came to join me in the gazebo, both girls splattered with paint. They'd been in charge of beautifying the raft and announcing JT's sponsorship. Thus, the whole thing was a day-glow shade of pink, with Pearson Investigative and Recovery Services in black on the sides. Thankfully, the sponsor's name was long enough that it cut down the eye-watering amount of bright pink.
Did you hear Holt Dupree is coming back in town for the holiday weekend?
Chelsea asked me, her face flushed with excitement.
He's going to be in the parade and help MC the regatta.
Wasn't he signed on to the Falcons? I asked. I thought he'd be at training camp or something already. Holt Dupree was our very own homegrown celebrity. He'd propelled our local high school football team to state 4 years in a row, starting varsity his freshman year. As impressive as his playing was, no one was surprised when the scholarship offers came pouring in. Of course, a small-town football star didn't always bring in the big names, so everyone had been surprised when he turned all of the free-ride scholarships at the B-level schools down to accept a tiny one at LSU. I remember thinking that he was a fool.